إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our first session dealing with the topic of Al-Qur'an. And this topic, inshallah, is going to be presented in two parts, yani two related topics. The first of them, Al-Qur'an, Hablullah Al-Mamdood. That is the Qur'an, which is the extended or outstretched rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second part related to it is كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ يعني his character, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his character was the implementation or the execution of the Qur'an. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to start the topic with what the Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. He began by mentioning three hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alaykum salam, and a narration from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud mawqufan, yani which is a statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, related to the title of the first part of this subject, that is related to yani the description of the Quran as Hablullah al-Mamdood. Those hadith verify and confirm this description of the Quran, and tonight inshallah we'd like to start with those hadith. But before we do that, we want to quickly mention something concerning the author, that is Shaykh Abdul Razak. We want to mention just briefly something related to him, so that though anyone who might not be familiar with him, then they will at least know who we are taking this knowledge from. This is from the principles of the Sunnah, of the people of Sunnah, that we should always know who we are taking our knowledge from. Yani we don't just take knowledge from anybody and everybody, however yani good they may appear to be. But we should know who we're taking from. Okay, so first we're going to start with something brief concerning the author. His name is Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. The Shaykh, does anybody know how old Shaykh Abdul Razak is? Anybody have any idea how old he is or how young he is? Yani about, let's say, over 25, 30 years ago, he was the Amid of Kulliyatul Da'wah wa Usuluddin. Yani over 30 years ago, he was the Dean of the College of Da'wah in the Islamic University of Medina. So he's not exactly a young man. And some people might think of him as being young. He was the Amid of Kulliyatul Da'wah 30 years ago. So he's not exactly a young man, although at that time when he was in that position, he was very young, but he's no longer young now. Any case, does anybody know how old he is or about? Huh? Close? Almost, yani, almost, right? Okay, you'll figure it out, inshallah. He was born on the 22nd of Dhul-Qa'dah in the year 1382 of the Hijrah. In the year 1382 of the Hijrah. In a place called Az-Zulfi, which is in the province of Riyadh in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. his undergraduate studies, his master's degree, and his PhD degree were all done at the Islamic University of Medina. Among his teachers, from the most important of them, was his father, the Muhaddith of Medina, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, Hafidhullah, and from amongst his teachers, one of the Imams of this era, that is Sheikh Abdul Aziz, Al-Imam Abdul Aziz al-Mi'abdil ibn Baz, Rahimahullah, and Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, Rahimahullah, and from his teachers who are still present, the noble Sheikh Ali Nasser Faqihi, Hafidhullah. These are from amongst his many, many, many teachers, yani from the most outstanding of them. From his writings, and there are many, I don't want to really mention his writings because they are unlimited. Yani I don't know how many books he has written, authored, books that he has yani written as books that have been converted from speeches or lectures or series that he gave, explanations of books of other scholars. From amongst the most important of those books, most beautiful of them, is Fiqh al-Ad'iyya wal-Adhkar, yani understanding the supplications and words of remembrance. Yani these books here, all of these supplication books are taken from his book there. Ta'zim al-Salat, which is a book that we covered in this masjid yani a few years ago, the great importance of prayer. Explanation, his sharh of the book of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, exemplary principles related to the names and sifat of Allah. His explanation of Kalima al-Tayyib, yani by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. His explanation of Aqidah Tahawiyyah by Imam al-Tahawi, and a complete explanation of Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari. And then we also mentioned some of his translated works, and they are many. And finally, just quickly, we will mention his occupation. He is presently a member of the teaching staff at the Islamic University of Medina, and he has also given numerous lectures at the Prophet's Masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Medina, and other locations locally and abroad. Yani around the world, he's traveled around the world. He's invited to yani almost every place in the earth, Arab countries, Africa, Asia, everywhere. And the Shaykh, alhamdulillah, yani by the favor and mercy of Allah, yani he has benefited tremendously from his father, who is one of the outstanding, distinguished scholars of this era from the people of Sunnah. And he has benefited from the Imams of this era, as we mentioned, Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz and Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen and others besides them. Okay, this is what we wanted to say in brief in reference to the Shaykh. Sheikh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah. Secondly, I want to just mention quickly that there are a lot of points that the Sheikh mentions in this book. Unfortunately, there are no subtitles. Therefore, yani the topics are yani like run on. So a person has to pay careful attention. If you're reading the English translation, especially, then sometimes you won't yani notice that it's going from one topic to another unless you're paying careful attention. So please read carefully. Okay, we're going to read from the beginning of what the Shaykh offered here after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, the al-ifdal wal-in'am. And he praises Allah, the one who is in possession, the owner of giving favors, bounties, blessings. And he is the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the owner of giving these things. And everything of khair, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh bears witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone. Al-Malik al-Allam, yani he is the sovereign king, the all-knowing, yani the one who has all knowledge, complete and perfect knowledge. And then the Shaykh bears witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his abd, yani his worshipper, and his rasul, his messenger, and he is khairul anam, the best of all humanity, sallallahu وسلم عليه وعلى آله وصحبه الأئمة الأعلام. So may the salat and salam be upon him and upon his family and his companions. يعني صحبه means أصحابه and his companions. الأئمة الأعلام. They are the noble scholars, the noble imams. يعني of this ummah. الأئمة الأعلام. يعني the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. After this, the Shaykh goes right into the topic. أما بعد فإن حبل الله الممدود هو القرآن الكريم. يعني indeed, the rope of Allah, the outstretched, the extended rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the noble Quran. حبل الله الممدود, this refers to the noble Quran. يعني perhaps if we have time, we may look at يعني the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, وَاتَّصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And if we have time, we may look at this ayat. Otherwise, I advise you to go back and look at the tafsirs concerning this ayat as it relates to our topic. Because in most of the books of tafsir, the Hablullah, yani, is defined by the scholars with various different definitions. Of course, the most important of them and the most clear of them is that the rope of Allah is the book of Allah. But it also, some of the scholars said, it may also mean the deen of Allah. And it may mean the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and other meanings like this. If we have a chance, we may look at something from that. In fact, let me just say here, before we enter into the topic any further, let me stop here and say that, yani, even though there's a lot that could be said about this, I just want to read one point, and that is concerning the ayah in Surah Ali Imran. It's in the third surah, and I think it's the 102nd or 103rd ayah. 103rd ayah. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. وَاَعْتَصِمُوا, yani, some of the scholars of tafsir said this means to strictly adhere to tightly hold on to. Yani, not just to hold something, but to hold it tightly, to cling to it. Naam, to cling to it. And the Hablillah, they said it is Kitabuhu al-Quran. Yani, it is his book, the Quran, wa dinuhu al-Islam. And his deen, al-Islam. The Hablillah, it is the book of Allah, and it is the deen of Allah, and that is because the book of Allah and the deen of Allah, these two things are the sila, yani the connection that connects the believer to his Rabb. Yani, it is the book of Allah and the deen of Allah that connects one to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything that connects something to something else, then it is called a sababun or a hablun. It is called a sababun or hablun. And the reason why I emphasize these two words, because in some of the hadith, it came as the hablullah, and in some of the hadith came as sababun. Yani, that the book of Allah is sababun. And this means pretty much the same thing. Also, it is said that al-asma, yani, that a person be protected and preserved and secured from harm or evil. Yani, it is only in holding fast to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever holds fast to them, they will never go astray. And finally, the last point that I want to make is that taking hold of Islam as a whole, the whole of Islam, the book of Allah as a whole, the book of Allah, all of it, yani, that which, yani, is pleasing to you and that which, yani, you might find difficulty in, all of it, the whole of it, holding fast to the whole of it, yani, the aqidah and the sharia is what will give you safety from going astray and misguidance in this world, and in the end, it is what will save you from destruction and loss in the next life. Holding fast to the rope of Allah. This is our topic that we're going to be talking about for some weeks, بإذن الله تعالى. So the Shaykh, he begins by saying, indeed, the rope of Allah, al-mamdood, yani the extended, the outstretched rope of Allah, it is the noble Qur'an. And the reason why we are talking about this topic, I mean, one of the reasons why, yani, I thought that this topic would be of importance to us is because of the need for every Muslim to review your own self and your relation to the Qur'an. Yani, what is your relationship with the Qur'an? How much time do you devote to the Qur'an? How dedicated are you to the Qur'an? What would you sacrifice for the Qur'an? Yani, how much do you know of the Qur'an? What do you understand of the Qur'an? How much of it do you practice in your daily life? This is something that we need to think about. And this topic, inshallah, is going to make us look at it carefully. To look at ourselves and our relationship to the Book of Allah. And perhaps it may motivate us to do better. Naam. Indeed, the rope of Allah that is extended, it is the noble Quran. وَقَدْ جَاءَتْ تَسْمِيَتُهُ بِهَذَا الْإِسْمِ فِي السُّنَّةِ الصَّحِيحَةِ الثَّابِتَةِ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Yani, this name being given to the Quran, this tasmiyah, the Quran being named Habdullah al-Mamdood, this yani expression being used as a name for the Quran is confirmed in the authentic sunnah from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, this is a name that is confirmed, it is affirmed, it is really, yani, truly a proper expression to use for the Quran. And the Shaykh mentions, as I said, three hadith and one athar from Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu concerning the use of this name to refer to the Quran. The first hadith he mentions is the hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, Ala wa inni, Ala wa inni tarikun fikum thaqalaini. أحدهما كتاب الله عز وجل هو حبل الله من اتبعه كان على الهدى ومن تركه كان على الضلالة. يعني this hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih on the authority of Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu anhu. So there's no doubt that this is a correct description, a name for the Book of Allah that is the Hablullah. Yani in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Ala wa inni tarikun fikum thaqalain. Is it not so? Indeed, I am one who is leaving amongst you two heavy, two weighty matters. Yani in this narration here, only one of them is mentioned. But in some of the narrations, it came, yani different, yani expressions came in different narrations. But in any case, here, the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, I am the one who is leaving amongst you two weighty matters, two extremely important things. أحدهما كتاب الله. One of them is the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. هو حبل الله. The Prophet ﷺ said, it is the rope of Allah. The Book of Allah, it is the rope of Allah. And here the Prophet ﷺ made us to understand that these weighty matters, or at least one of them, the most important of them, in some of the narrations said, أَعْظَمُهُمَا, the greatest of them is the Book of Allah. The greatest of them is the Book of Allah. He said, يعني, why is this so important? The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنِ اتَّبَعَهُ, whoever follows it. يعني follows the book, follows what it contains in it, adheres to it, sticks to it, clings to it, obeys it. من اتبعه كان على الهدى. Then that person will be upon right guidance. ومن تركه كان على الضلالة. While whoever abandons it, يعني whoever abandons the Book of Allah, then that person, يعني will be upon misguidance. They will be astray. So here is a great matter. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that he has left amongst us two weighty matters. One of them is the Book of Allah. In another narration, the greatest of them, the most important of them, is the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it is the rope of Allah. This description of the Quran as the rope of Allah is very interesting description. Very interesting description. And perhaps in some of these narrations and what follows from what the Shaykh says, it will become clear to us that this rope is what enables us to be connected to our Rabb. And if anything connects you to something else or to someone else, it is incumbent upon you, if you want to benefit from that connection, that you hold tight to it. If you let it go, you lose the connection, you lose whatever benefit comes with that connection. So the Prophet ﷺ said here, مَنِ اتَّبَعَهُ, whoever follows it. Yani they adhere, they recognize this, the importance of this connection, so they follow it, they stick to it, they cling to it, they obey what it contains. Whoever does so, that person will be upon right guidance. While whoever abandons the Book of Allah, and if they let go, then they will be upon misguidance. They will be astray. Some of the scholars said, yani I'm saying here that some of the scholars said, in this hadith is al-hath ala tamassuk bil Quran, wa tahreed ala al-amal bihi wal i'tisam bihi. Yani this is not in the book. And in some of the scholars in discussing this hadith, they said in this hadith, there is an encouragement for one to hold fast, at-tamassuk bil-Qur'an, to hold to the Qur'an, to hold tight to the Qur'an, وَالتَّحْرِيدَ عَلَى الْعَمَلْ بِهِ, and an encouragement for a person to act upon what is in the Qur'an. So this clearly is, from the beginning, is making us to know that holding to the Qur'an, following the Qur'an, is not just reciting Quran. It's not just learning Arabic so you can read the Mus'haf in Arabic. It's not just learning Tajweed so that you can recite it properly, which is very important, extremely important. Naam. It's the book of Allah, the speech of Allah, and we should recite it properly. But it's more than that. It requires us to act upon it. And you cannot act upon it unless you understand it, unless you read it with care, reflect, ponder, and seek out the meanings from the scholars of the people of Sunnah so that we can apply it in our lives, so that we can act upon it. In this hadith, there is an encouragement to hold to the book of Allah and to act upon it, to cling to it tightly. Al-i'tisam bihi, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, wa'atasimu bihablillahi. Yani hold fast, cling to the rope of Allah. The second hadith of the three that the Shaykh mentions, وَرَوَى الْإِمَامْ أَحْمِدْ فِي مُسْنَدِهِ. Yani Imam Ahmed narrates in his book, The Musnad. And this narration, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, said, إِسْنَادٌ حَسَنٌ فِي الشَّوَاهِدْ. Yani in his book, Silsila al-Hadith al-Sahihah, he said that the isnad of this hadith is hasan, yani due to the supporting narrations, the shawahid. So this narration of Imam Ahmed is also an authentic narration, is hasan, yani, and yani it brings us some further description for our title and our topic. Yani in this hadith, yani it's narrated from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Kitabullahi hablun mamdudun min as-sama'i ila al-ardi. Do you have a book? Oh. Huh? Sign a sheet. Naam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the book of Allah is a rope, hablun mamdudun min as-sama'i ila al-ardi. It is a rope that is extended min as-sama'i ila al-ardi, from the heavens down to the earth. And this is one of the meanings of sababun that's going to come in the next narration. Sababun, it means a rope, and usually it means a rope that is extended to the roof, yani to that which is above you, in order to connect you to that which is above. Okay, and here the meaning came, yani clearly, that this rope which is extended, the rope of Allah, the book of Allah, it is extended, yani it has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above the seven heavens, and it is, yani, sent down to us upon earth. So it is hablun mamdudun, an extended or outstretched rope, and it's extended from the heavens to the earth, min as-sama'i ila al-ardi. Again, this is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, reported by Al-Imam Ahmed, and the isnad is hasan. So this tells us a little further about description. In the first hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the book of Allah, huwa hablullah. And in this narration he said, kitabullah huwa hablun mamdudun. So it is, yani the book of Allah is the rope of Allah. And here in this narration, it's the rope of Allah that's extended from the heavens down to the earth, to the people who want to connect themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to give your heart to the Qur'an. Yani if we only read the Qur'an in Ramadan, it means that we are not interested in being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the book of Allah. The third narration. وَرَوَى إِبْنُ أَبِي شَيْبَ فِي مُصَنَّفِهِ فِي مُصَنَّفِهِ with فَتَّة. Yani ism maf'ool. Yani musannif means the one who collects it. And musannaf means the collection. This is the musannaf of Ibn Abi Shaybah. And by the way, I mentioned before and I'll mention again that Ibn Abi Shaybah, rahimahullah, is one of the great scholars of hadith that we should know. Yani about 3/4 of the hadith in Sahih Muslim came from his sheikh, Ibn Abi Shaybah, rahimahullah. Naam. Ibn Abi Shaybah narrates in his musannaf, من حديث أبي شريح الخزائي رضي الله عنه. May Allah be pleased with him. And the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أبشروا أبشروا, يعني receive the good news, glad tidings. أبشر بشرى, يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, I'm offering you some good news. This is a بشرى. أبشروا أبشروا أليس تشهدون أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله. Are you not all bearing witness يعني تشهدون, don't you all bear witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah and that I am the messenger of Allah. قالوا نعم, they said yes, we bear witness. قال فإن هذا القرآن سبب, he didn't say حبل, here he said سبب, and the meaning of سبب يعني حبل, same meaning inshallah we see linguistically يعني how the scholars explained it. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ سَبَبٌ, that indeed this Qur'an is a sabab, يعني حبل, a wasila, a means to connect you, connecting something to something else. It's a sababun, the connection between what and what? طَرَفُهُ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ, يعني one end of it is in the hand of Allah. وَطَرَفُهُ بِأَيْدِيكُمْ, and the other end of it is in your hands. فَتَمَسَّكُوا بِهِ, therefore cling to it, hold it tightly. يعني this is a sabab, a habl, a wasila. On one end of it, it's in the hand of Allah, and the other end of it is in your hands if you hold on to it. فَتَمَسَّكُوا بِهِ, so hold tight to it, cling to it, adhere to it strictly. فَإِنَّكُمْ لَن تَضِلُّوا وَلَن تَحْلِكُوا بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا, for indeed if you hold tight to it, cling to it, adhere to it, يعني تتبعه, follow it, you will never, لن تضلوا, you will never go astray, وَلَن تَحْلِكُوا, and you will never be destroyed, بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا, after it, يعني ever. And whoever holds to the Book of Allah, clings to it, adheres to it, follows it, obeys it, يعني reads it, studies it, learns its meanings, and lives by it, believes in whatever it has يعني informed us of, يعني whoever does so, then this person will never, the Prophet ﷺ used len. Len is the negation for
future.
For the future. You will never ever in the future go astray. And you will never ever in this world and the next life, and you will not go astray in this world, and you will not be destroyed in the hereafter. Yani punishment in hellfire. Abadan. This narration from the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba, Shaykh al-Albani said, Sahihun ala sharti Muslim. Yani in Silsila al-Hadith al-Sahiha. He said, Yani number 713. He said, Sahihun, yani it is authentic according to the conditions of Al-Imam Muslim. Yani the conditions that Imam Muslim said, this is what's required for hadith to be sahih. He said it meets those conditions. Here I want to stop for a minute. And I want to mention two things. One, another narration of this hadith that's reported by At-Tirmidhi. And Shaykh Al-Albani said that it is sahih in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi. Hadith number 3788. Yani narrated from Zayd ibn Arqam. Hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam, radiallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inni tarikun fikum ma in tamassaktum bihi lan tadillu بعدي أحدهما أعظم من الآخر كتاب الله حبل ممدود من السماء إلى الأرض وإطرتي أهل بيتي. To the end of the hadith. يعني in this narration, Zayd ibn Arqam said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that indeed I am leaving amongst you ما إن تمسكتم به, that which if you hold tight to it, لَن تَضِلُّوا بَعْدِي, you will never go astray after me. أَحَدُهُمَا, one of them is greater than the other. One of them, of the things that the Prophet ﷺ has left, is greater than the other. كِتَابُ اللَّهِ حَبْلٌ مَمْدُودٌ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ, يعني it is the Book of Allah which is the rope that's extended from the heavens to the earth, and the other of them is the offspring, or not the offspring, but the blood, near blood relations of the Prophet ﷺ from his family, Ahli Bayti. And by the way, we should say that in this hadith there is a clear indication yani against the claim of the Shia that the Ahlul Bayt are like the Book of Allah. This hadith is a clear indication, a refutation against them. They say in some of the narrations, the Prophet ﷺ said, I have left two things amongst you. Yani in one of the narrations, another narration that is also authentic, the Prophet ﷺ said, Inni tarikun fikum khalifataini. I have left amongst you two things that will yani survive me, the Book of Allah wa Ahli Bayti, the Book of Allah and the people of my family. So they said, so the Book of Allah and his family, they're equal. Like you have to obey the Book of Allah, you have to obey his family. Yani whatever is in the Book of Allah is the truth, and whatever his family says is the truth. But this narration makes clear that one of them, أَحَدُهُمَا أَعَظَمُ مِنَ الْآخَرِ, one of them is greater than the other, and that is the Book of Allah, the rope that is extended from the heavens to the earth. And this means clearly, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says in his explanation, in his book, يعني العقيدة الوسطية, يعني that we must respect the family of the Prophet ﷺ, that they should be respected and honored and given a special place amongst the Muslims if they are those who follow his sunnah and adhere to the sharia and practice this deen as the Prophet ﷺ left, because as Muslims they have a right, and as family of the Prophet they have an extra right. Yani if they are following his sunnah. As far as yani the people who are not following his sunnah, even if they are from his family, then there is no benefit whatsoever in that. So here, yani two narrations I want to mention to you. Yani the first narration is from Zayd ibn Arqam, yani that I have left amongst you that which, if you hold fast to it, you will never go astray after me. And one of them is greater than the other, that is the Book of Allah, the rope of Allah, which is extended from the heavens to the earth. The second narration is the narration of Abu Huraira, and this narration is reported by Imam Malik, Mursalan, as a Mursal hadith, and Al-Hakam mentions it, Musnadan, yani with a complete narration going with the Prophet, وَصَحَّحَهُ, and he declared it to be sahih, from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ شَيْئَيْنِ, I have left two things amongst you, لَن تَضِلُّوا بَعْدَهُمْ, you will not go straight after them, مَا تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا, as long as you have hold tight to them, كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَالسُنَّةِ, the Book of Allah and my Sunnah. Okay, I mention these narrations because there are various narrations concerning this topic of the rope of Allah, and from amongst those narrations came yani the mention of the Book of Allah along with the family of the Prophet, and another narration came the Book of Allah along with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And indeed, yani what we are concerned about here today, yani is the greatest of all the weighty affairs, and that is the Book of Allah, the Hablullah that is extended from the heavens to the earth, and we must hold fast to it in order to keep that connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to benefit from it. And from the benefits of it is that whoever holds to the Book of Allah, they will never go astray and they will never be destroyed. Yani whoever follows it, they will be upon right guidance, and whoever abandons it, they will be upon misguidance. Naam. After this, the Shaykh before mentioning the athar from Abdul ibn Masood, one final point, yani from the explanation of Al-Jami' al-Saghir, Fayd al-Qadiyah by Imam al-Manawi, yani in the explanation of this book, yani this hadith came, abshiru, abshiru, yani good news to the end of the hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Quran is a sabab, yani a habul, a rope, yani a wasila, a means that connects you to him. On one end of it, or one end of it is the hand of Allah, and the other end of it is in your hands, so hold fast to it, and if you do, you will never go astray, and you will never be destroyed. Yani, here it is said that, فَإِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ سَبَبٌ, the meaning of سَبَبٌ, حَبْلٌ يَرْتَقِي بِهِ, yani it is a rope that you can climb up by it. You can rise up upon this rope. Rise up to do what? To get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through the Qur'an. And how will one get near to Allah except by the Qur'an? حَبْلٌ يَرْتَقِي بِهِ. قَالَ ابْنِ أَثِيرِ, yani the great scholar of hadith and Arabic language, in his book Al-Nihaya, he said, أَصْلُهُ مِنَ السَّبَبُ وَهُوَ الْحَبْلُ الَّذِي يَتَوَصَّلْ بِهِ إِلَى الْمَاءِ. Yani the origin of the word, yani of the sabab as being a rope, is that the sabab, it is a rope through with which a person reaches the water. Yani you tie a bucket on a rope and drop it in a well, for example, in order to reach the water. It is said that the rope is only called a sabab if one end of it is connected to the ceiling or that which is above you. Yani in this case, the rope here, the sabab, yani the rope of Allah, is on one end in the hands of Allah above the seven heavens, and the other end of it is in the hands of the people on earth. Al-Imam al-Nawawi said in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, yani concerning the Book of Allah being the Hablullah, he said various meanings that the scholars have attributed to it. From amongst them, he said that the meaning of yani the Habl here is yani as-sabab al-muwassil ila ridahu wa rahmatihi. Yani it is the means through which a person may reach the pleasure of Allah and His rahmah. Yani through the Book of Allah. And also, yani concerning the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَتَمَسَّكُ بِهِ, that is, hold fast to it. لِأَنَّهُ يَتَوَصَّلْ بِهِ إِلَى الْخُرُوجِ مِنَ الْفِتْنِ وَالْبُعْدِ عَنَ الضَّلَالِ وَالْكُفْرِ. Because it is by means of holding on this rope that a person will escape from the fitn, from the trials and tribulations, from the fitna, and a person will be distanced from misguidance and kufr. At-Tibi, one of the scholars of hadith, he said, مَنْ تَرَكَ الْعَمَلْ بِآيَةٍ, whoever abandons acting upon one ayah of the Qur'an, أَوْ كَلِمَةٍ, or one word من القرآن, مِمَّا يَجِبُ الْعَمَلْ بِهِ, أَوْ تَرَكَ كِرَاعَتَهُ, أَوْ كِرَاعَتِهِ, تَرَكَ كِرَاعَتَهُ مِنَ التَّكَبُّرِ كَفَرًا. يعني الطيبي رحمه الله, he said, whoever abandons العمل بآية أو كلمة من القرآن, يعني whoever abandons, refuse to act upon one ayah or even one word of the Quran from that which is obligatory to be acted upon, or they just abandon reading the Quran due to pride or arrogance, I'm not going to read this Quran, then this is kufr. And whoever abandoned it, عجزاً أو كسلاً أو ضعفاً, but whoever abandoned it because they were unable, inability, or due to laziness or weakness, yani not out of pride, but for other reasons, مع اعتقاد تعظيمه فلا إثم عليه. As long as they believe that it is exalted, the Book of Allah is exalted, then there is no sin on that person, yani for abandoning the reading, لكنه محروم, but this person would be deprived of all good. And whoever doesn't read the Quran, how will they achieve any khair? والقرآن حبل الله المتين طرفه بيد الله وطرفه الآخر بيد المؤمن. The Quran is the strong rope of Allah. One end of it is in the hand of Allah, and another end of it is in the hand of the believer. فمن استمسك به, so whoever holds tight to it. فتعلم, so he learned. وعمل, and he acted. وعلم, and he taught, yani the Book of Allah. Yani whoever hold tight to it, he learned the Book of Allah. He acted upon the Book of Allah, and he or she taught the Book of Allah, مخلصاً لله, sincerely for the sake of Allah. متبعاً لحج كتابه وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, yani following, strictly adhering to the guidance of the book, of his book, and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لن يدل عبدا حتى يلقى الله, this person will never go astray, yani until they meet Allah. Yani whoever holds fast to the Book of Allah, learning it, acting upon it, teaching it with sincerity, and strictly adhering to the guidance of the book and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will never go astray until the day that they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فهذه بشارة. So the Shaykh said what? فهذه بشارة من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لمن حفظ كتاب الله وعمل به. نعم ونسأل الله يجعلنا منهم. يعني the Shaykh, he said this is a بشارة, this is good news. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in one of these hadith, he said أبشروا أبشروا, good news to the person who holds on to the rope of Allah. He said this is a bishara from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever memorizes the Book of Allah and acts upon it then yani they will never go astray and they will not be destroyed. They will be saved from misguidance and deviation in this world, and they will be saved from destruction and loss in the next life. And he said, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us to be from amongst them. Here the Shaykh mentions one other proof of this tasmiyah, or the naming of the Book of Allah, yani with this expression, Habdallah. He said, yani that which has been narrated by Ad-Darimi in his Sunan. And in the translation of this book, they gave the Arabic text from a different narration of the Hadith, not from the Sunan of Ad-Darimi. So the translation is a little bit different than what came in the original text of the book. I'm just making note of that so you could be aware. Yani, there's another narration that came in the Al-Ibana Al-Kubra by Ibn Battah that came with the wording as it came in the translated text of this book. It came like that with that wording. But as for what the Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Razak mentioned from the Sunan of Darimi, the wording is different. Meaning is pretty much the same, but the wording is different. This is how it came in the original book, and this is the exact wording that came in the Sunan of Darimi. An Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu, annahu qala, inna hadha as-sirata muhtadarun tahduruhu ash-shayateen. Indeed, this way, this road, this sirat, yani, there are shayateen upon it, present upon it. Yunaduna ya Abdullah, calling out, O servant of Allah, hadha tariq. Yani hada huwa tariq. Yani they're calling out saying, this is the road. Yani the shayateen are calling people to another way, other than the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, yani know that they are shayateen calling people to another way. Fa'tasimu bihablillahi fa'inna hablallahi al-Quran. This is the word that came in Sunan Ad-Darimi, and that is that this road has upon it shayateen, calling people, calling, O servant of Allah, this is the tariq. Yani calling people to misguidance. فَأَتَصِمُوا, therefore you must hold fast, cling to the rope of Allah, for indeed the rope of Allah is the Qur'an. Indeed, the rope of Allah is the Qur'an. Yani the narration that came in Al-Ibana Al-Kubra, as it came in our translated copy of the book, yani has some wording that is not here, and that is yani that they are shayateen calling out, O Abdullah, liyasuddu an sabilillah. Yani calling the people to another way in order to what? To cause them to deviate from the path of Allah. Therefore hold fast to the rope of Allah, for indeed the rope of Allah is the Quran. In that narration it came, Hablullah huwa kitabullah. The rope of Allah, it is the book of Allah. Same meaning, but just make note that there are different narrations of this report from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The meaning of it, the essence of it, is that there are shayateen along the way calling people to misguidance. Therefore, hold on to the rope of Allah. And the rope of Allah is the Quran. So again, this is an encouragement to us, yani, to devote ourselves to the Quran, yani, ilman wa amalan wa tatbiqan, as the Shaykh mentions, yani shortly, that is that we must seek knowledge of the Book of Allah, and we must we must act upon it. Our actions should be in accordance with the Book of Allah, and we must implement it yani across the board in our lives. The Shaykh, he says here, هذا الحبل الممدود قد أنزله الله تبارك وتعالى هداية للبشر وصلاحا للناس وذكرى للمؤمنين وَشِفَاعًا لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَضِيَاعًا وَنُورًا وَبَرَكَةً لِمَنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ. And here the Shaykh summarizes the purposes for which the Quran has been sent down. And here the Shaykh is summarizing the purposes, some of the main purposes for which the Quran has been sent down. This, يعني الحبل الممدود, this extended, outstretched rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has sent it down, tabaraka wa ta'ala, hidayatan lil bashar, as a means of guidance for humanity. So take it as a means of guidance. Yani, guide yourself by it. It's not meant yani to enjoy its recitation. Yani just listen to it day and night, mashallah, it sounds good. And then don't follow it. Yani don't get lost in listening to the beautiful recitation of Quran and forget that that's not the purpose for which it was sent down. As entertainment, to entertain you. Rather, it was sent down as hidayah, as guidance. Some of us, mashallah, we are proud. And this is not a word that we should ever ascribe to ourselves. But I'm saying if that's the way people look at it, we are proud that we listen to the Quran a lot. But, Ani, are you following it? And maybe you like the way certain reciter recites, so you like to listen to it. That's like people listening to music. If you're not following it, there's really no benefit. The Quran is not sent down as entertainment. But the Quran was sent down, number one, hidayatan lil bashar, wa salahan lin nas, and as a means of piety and righteousness for the people. Yani to enable you to be righteous, to be pious, to observe taqwa. Wa dhikran lil mu'mineen, and as a reminder to the believer. Yani when you read the Quran, every day when you open the Quran, whatever you read of it, whether it's one juz or half a juz or two pages or one page, or one ayah, it contains a reminder for the believer. If you are not reminded by it, if you read past it without being reminded, then you've lost the purpose. Yani it was sent down as a dhikra, as a reminder. Not just, yani, as reading material. وَشِفَاءً لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, and it was meant to be a healing for that which is in the hearts. Yani a healing for that which is in the hearts. Yani in the human being. Yani the internal sicknesses and diseases that we have. So much of it. Especially the people living in the places of filth and corruption. All kinds of diseases. Yani spiritual diseases. Mental diseases. Yani the Quran is meant as a shifa lima fi sudur, as a healing for that which is in the chest. What is in the heart. In the internally in the human being. وَضِيَانْ وَنُورًا, and it was meant as a light. Both kinds of light. ضِيَا وَنُور, yani the original light and that which reflects light. وَبَرَكَةً, and as a blessing. Yani as a blessing mean that it is a means of increase of khair. Yani the Quran is meant as a means to increase your khair. Yani if you have good, the Quran will increase it upon you. If you read the Quran, reflect upon it, learn its meanings, act upon it, call to it, comply with whatever it calls us to do. It will be a barakah لِمَنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ. Yani it is this for those who are from أَهْلِهِ, from the people of the Quran. Yani the people whose hearts are attached to the Quran. Who read it, who study it, who reflect upon it, who believe in it. Every word of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they live by it. Then it will be all of this for the Ahlul Quran. قال الله تعالى, and here the Shaykh now goes on to mention some ayahs from the Quran. He goes on here to mention some ayahs from the Quran that mention some of these things, the purposes for which the Quran was sent down. And this is extremely important that we know what is the purpose for which the Quran was sent down, so that we use it for that. Isn't it so that when you buy any product, a telephone, a computer, a washing machine, that in order for you to benefit from it, you have to know what is its purpose? What is it for? What was it designed to do? Otherwise, if you don't know what it's for, maybe you use the washing machine as a storage place for your fruit or vegetables. Yani, what benefit will you get from that? Right? You have to know its purpose. So how can we benefit from the Quran if we don't know what was the purpose for which it is sent down? These are some of the purposes for which the Quran was sent down. Yani was sent down to be a guidance, to be a means of achieving piety and righteousness, a reminder, a healing, a light, and a means of increase of khair. قال الله تعالى كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليتدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب. And from Surah الصاد, 38th surah, 29th ayat. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kitabun, a book, anzalnahu ilayka mubarakan. Mubarakan. Yani it's a book that we have sent down to you, Mubarak, yani blessed, full of blessings, full of khair, so that you may reflect upon its ayat and be reminded, yani, that the people, ulul albab, the people of understanding, yani, the people who have minds, who have intellect, be reminded, yani, so that you may reflect upon it and it will be a reminder to you. So the Quran, yani, it is full of blessings, but those blessings are achieved by the one who reflects upon its ayat, who ponders, who contemplates. Not like what happens, yani, in some places, for example, in Ramadan, they want to finish the whole Quran, so they just recite, speed recitation, right? And who is able to ponder? Rather, who is able to even understand what's being said? The Quran is not meant to be speed read. It's not a race that we're in. Rather, a person should take their time and recite the Quran calmly, slowly, with reflection and contemplation. It's not how much you finish of it, but it's how much you understand from it. It is sent down full of blessings so that you may reflect upon its ayat and so that the people of understanding may remember, may be reminded. وَقَالَ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا. Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 9th Ayat, the saying of Allah, Jalla wa Ala, indeed, this Qur'an guides to that which is aqwam, the most upright, to that which is most upright, aqwam. وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and it gives good news to the believers who do good deeds. أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا, that for them will be a great reward, that is Al-Jannah. Yani, this Qur'an is a guide to that which is most upright, and it's good news to the believers who have iman and amal as-salih. Claiming to have iman without righteous deeds is futile, useless. But it is good news for the believer who has iman, and the iman is manifested in doing good deeds, that for them is a great reward. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Yani from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 15th and 16th Ayah. In this Ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, indeed, there has come to you from Allah a nur and a kitabul mubin. Yani, some of the scholars of tafsir said that a nur here means a nabi, as found in some of the books of tafsir. Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi says that a nur here means the Quran. In any case, both of these are legitimate, yani, understandings of this ayat. Indeed, there has come to you from Allah a nur, yani, the Quran, or the Prophet, a Prophet, and a clear book. Naam. It guides, yani, or Allah guides by it, by this Quran, whoever follows or seeks His good pleasure. He guides them, those who seek His good pleasure. Meaning, yani, the one who reads the Quran, seeking the pleasure of Allah, seeking to earn the reward of Allah, yani, with the intent of practicing it, acting upon it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them by the Quran, Subul As-Salam. And Subul As-Salam, some of the scholars of tafsir said that it means Subul As-Salam. Anybody know what is the meaning of Subul As-Salam? Don't read the translation to me. The meaning of Subul As-Salam, yani, that the one who seeks the good pleasure of Allah, yani, Allah will guide them to Subul As-Salam. Yani, huh? نعم طرق السلامة طرق السلامة والنجاة والمناهج الاستقامة, يعني that it leads the person to the ways of safety and security, يعني saving you from destruction and deviation and misguidance, يعني the ways of uprightness. يعني if a person, يعني seeks, اتبع رضوانه, seeks the pleasure of Allah and he reads the Quran for the sake of earning the reward of Allah, then Allah guides them by the Quran to the ways, the turuq, the ways of salvation, of being saved, of safety, yani the ways of yani uprightness. وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. And he also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will remove them from darknesses to the light, بِإِذْنِهِ, by his permission. And he will guide them to a straight path. And all of this is from the benefits of the Qur'an. If a person, yani, studies it, reads it, sticks to it, adheres to it, learns its meanings, and sincerely seeks to earn the pleasure of Allah through the Qur'an, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them to the ways that will save them, ways of safety and security and salvation, and remove them from all types of darknesses, darkness of kufr, darkness of shirk, darkness of nifaq, dark, all kinds of hypocrisy, whatever it may be. Allah will remove them from darknesses into the light by His permission, and He will guide them to a straight path. Here, the Shaykh, he says, وَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ وَأَنْزَلَهُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى إِلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ لِيَكُونَ مَنْهَجًا لَهُمْ فِي حَيَاتِهِمْ وَفِي أَخْلَاقِهِمْ وَفِي آدَابِهِمْ وَفِي مُعَامَلَاتِهِمْ وَفِي تَعَبُّدِهِمْ وَتَقَرُّبِهِمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Here the Shaykh now turns to another subject. And he's talking here about what? That the Qur'an, Allah sent the Qur'an as a manhaj. Huh? What is your manhaj? What manhaj are you upon? The Qur'an is our manhaj. In what? In our aqidah? Only? In our ibadah? Only? What about in our manners? In our character? Yani, some people imagine that our manhaj, yani, directs us in how we should believe and maybe how we should worship. But as far as our manners and character, wallahu musta'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh says, أَنْزَلَهُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى إِلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ لِيَكُونَ مَنْهَجًا لَهُمْ فِي حَيَاتِهِمْ. Yani, Allah sent this book down to His worshippers so that it would be a methodology to follow for them in their life. فِي أَخْلَاقِهِمْ, in their character. Yani, character means what? Those characteristics that are yani intrinsic in the person. Not their description, physical description, but their character, meaning they are truthful, they are honest, they are humble, they are just, they are fair, they are charitable. Huh? This is what we mean by character. So the Quran is meant to be a manhaj for our character. Yani, the methodology in developing your character should be the Quran. وَفِي أَدَابِهِمْ, yani, in their manners with the people, their etiquettes, how they deal with one another. Are they polite? Are they kind in their treatment of other people? Do they have respect for others? In their adab. وَفِي مُعَامَلَاتِهِمْ, yani, in their interactions, yani, social interactions, business interactions, yani, your worldly dealings with the people. The Quran is also a manhaj for that. Yani, how you do business. Some people you can't do business with them, even though they are Muslims. And some people may say, and we don't say this, but some people I have heard say, I'd rather deal with the kafirs. I'd rather do business with a kafir. And we don't rather do business with a kafir, no. But some Muslims would make you not want to do business with them. Mu'amalatihim. Yani, our mu'amala, the Quran is our minhaj. Yani, be just, be fair, be honest. In business, in social interaction with people, in our marriage, our families, all of this is part of mu'amala. How we deal with our families, our relatives, our neighbors. وَفِي تَعَبُّدِهِمْ وَتَقَرُّبِهِمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And in our worship, and in our seeking the means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is our manhaj. And for this reason, the Shaykh says, وَلِهَذَا لَمَّا سُئِلَتْ أُمُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عائشة رضي الله عنها عن خلق نبينا عن خلق نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت كان خلقه القرآن. And the Sheikh said this hadith is narrated by Imam Ahmed in several places, and Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah said in Sahih Al-Jami' يعني Sahih Al-Jami' Al-Saghir, he said that it is Sahih. نعم يعني it is for this reason. يعني what reason? يعني that the Quran has been sent as a minhaj in every aspect, in every area of our life, not just in our worship, not just in our aqidah, in our character, in our manners, in our dawah, in every aspect of our life, the Quran is our manhaj. So therefore, yani when Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased her, Umul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, our mother, radiallahu anha, when she was asked about the character of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, his character was the Quran. His character was the Quran. Yani his worship, his manners, his interaction with the people, his everything, all of it, yani it was from the Quran. What was his character? His character was based upon the Quran, not from somewhere else. كان خلق القرآن أي أن كل ما في القرآن من عبادة وخلق وأدب ومعاملة إلى غير ذلك قد اتصف به نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم على التمام والكمال. That indeed everything that is in the Quran, whether it is worship or character or manners or our dealings with the people, to other than that, the Prophet ﷺ has been described, yani with everything that came in the Quran, from every one of these areas, he has been described with it, على التمام والكمالي, completely and perfectly. Yani whether it was character, whether it was adab, yani manners or yani etiquette with the people, whether it was ibadah, muamala, whatever it was that came in the Quran, the Prophet ﷺ is described with it completely and perfectly. فَكَانَ أَعْبُدُ النَّاسِ لِلَّهِ. Indeed, he was, yani of all the people, he was the greatest worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was greater in worship than any of the people. وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ خَشْيَةً. And he had more fear, awe of Allah than any of the people. وَأَعْظَمُهُمْ تَقْوَى. And he was the greatest of them in piety and righteousness. وَأَكْمَلَهُمْ خُلُقًا. And the most perfect of them in character. وَأَحْسَنُهُمْ أَدَبًا. And the most excellent of them in manners. وَأَطْيَبَهُمْ مُعَامَلَةً. And أَطْيَبَهُمْ يعني أَطْيَبَهُمْ يعني طيب يعني the most يعني طيب يعني the most pleasant, the most pleasant of them, the most agreeable of them. يعني he was easy, he was agreeable, he was easy to work with. يعني in his dealing with the people, he was طيب, he was easy, he was gentle, he was kind, he was pleasant, he was agreeable. He was أَطْيَبُ النَّاسِ مُعَامَلَةً. Some of us are يعني أَخْبَثَ النَّاسِ مُعَامَلَةً, the most evil in our dealing with the people. Nobody wants to talk to you or deal with you. Here I want to just stop for a moment. I know the time is running out, but I want to make a note here. يعني before I read what Ibn Qayyim says, يعني the hadith of Aisha radiallahu, the statement of Aisha radiallahu anha, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنَ. I may have told this story before, but I want to emphasize it again. And I was in the masjid in my house one day, and Jamaat al-Tabligh came, and they come there periodically, and he doing what they do, and you know, you go and pray and you go home. So that day, yani, one of them got up and he started saying something about yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I just wanted to hear a bit of what he was saying. May Allah save me. He said, "Kana Qur'anan yamshi." He was a walking Quran. I said, that's why I stopped to listen to what they were saying. I wanted to witness this myself. He said, he was Quran walking upon the earth. يَمْشِي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. So I didn't say anything. I just said, let me be patient. Hold yourself. Make long story short, I waited until he was finished. And then I asked him in private, in Arabic, is that a hadith? He said, that's a hadith. Well known. Everybody knows it. I graduated from Azhar University. All of my sheikhs taught it. We all know it. Everybody knows it. I said, I never heard that hadith. Can you find it for me? When I come back for the next salat, if you could show it to me, I would love to see it. I went home and I came back. He couldn't show it to me. I said, then maybe it's not a hadith. I said, that's the saying of Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, but she said that kana kulukul Quran. He said, yeah, that's what I meant. I said, but that's not what you said. Kana kulukul Quran. You said he was Quran walking on the earth. Yani he was Quran. The Prophet is the Quran walking upon the earth. Yani the Quran is the Kalamullah, غير مخلوق. This is a famous saying in English. People say he was a walking Quran. The reason why I'm emphasizing this point, I'm saying don't use this expression. Even if you mean something else, say what you mean. Don't say the Prophet ﷺ was a walking Quran. Quran is Kalamullah غير مخلوق. The Quran is the speech of Allah, it's not created. Prophet ﷺ is a human being, Bashar. He was created. The Quran doesn't walk on the earth. Quran is the speech of Allah. So this kind of saying, yani, leads a person to say something, even if the intent is something else, that could be kufr. Naam, kufr. This is one of the things that the people were tested with. Imam Ahmed, he's known as the Imam of Ahl Sunnah, because the people were tested with the idea of Quran being created. And he refused to comply, while many other scholars complied, just to save their lives. But he didn't comply, and some people were counting on him to hold fast, so that this deen wouldn't be lost. And now today we've just given it up, yani, saying the Quran, yani saying things that mean the Quran is created. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, as in his book At-Tibyan fi Aqsam al-Qur'an, فَهَذَا كَانَتْ أَخْلَاقْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمُقْتَصَبَ الْمُقْتَبَسَ مِنْ مِشْكَاتِ الْقُرْآنِ. Yani Ibn al-Qayyim says, yani, concerning yani this statement of Aisha, summarizing how the Prophet ﷺ exemplified the Qur'an in every aspect, in aqidah, in ibadah, in akhlaq, in adab, in da'wah, and so on. Ibn al-Qayyim is saying, yani in his book, At-Tibyan fi Aqsam al-Qur'an, this was the akhlaq of Rasulullah ﷺ. This was the character of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, which is derived, or is acquired, from the Mishkat al-Qur'an. فَكَانَ كَلَامُهُ مُطَابِقًا لِلْقُرْآنِ. Yani here Ibn Qayyim mentions a series of things, yani which, yani explain in detail what is meant by Aisha radiallahu anha when she said كَانَ كُلُكُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. Yani his speech was in accordance with, مُطَابِقًا لِلْقُرْآنِ. It was in accordance with the Qur'an. Yani it didn't differ or contradict anything in the Qur'an. تَفْصِيلًا لَهُ وَتِبْيَانًا. Yani it was explanation, the details of the Qur'an. Speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give us the tafsil of the Qur'an. The details of what's in the Qur'an. وَتَبْيِينًا. And it also gives us clarification of what's in the Qur'an. وَعُلُومُهُ عُلُومُ Qur'an. And his ulum, yani his ilm, the knowledge of all areas of knowledge, it came from the Qur'an. وَإِرَادَتُهُ وَعَمَالُهُ مَا أَوْجَبَهُ وَنَدَبَ إِلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنِ. And that which he desired, his irada, his intent, and his actions, both his intent and his actions, are that which the Qur'an made obligatory, or that which the Qur'an encouraged us to do. وَإِرَادُهُ وَتَرْكُهُ لِمَا مَنَعَ مِنْهُ الْقُرْآنِ. Yani, and his turning away from things, or his abandoning something, it was due to what, to that which the Qur'an prohibited. Yani, he abandoned, he turned away from that which the Qur'an prohibited. وَرَغْبَتُهُ فِي مَا رَغَّبَ فِيهِ وَزُهَدُهُ فِي مَا زَهَّدَ فِيهِ. Yani, that which he desired, and that which he disliked, was based upon that which the Qur'an encouraged us to be desirous of. And that which the Qur'an encourages us to dislike and to, yani, leave. وَقِرَاهَتُهُ لِمَا كَرِيَهُ. And his dislike was for, what he hated was that which was hated in the Qur'an. And what he loved was that which the Qur'an caused you to love. وَسَعَيُهُ فِي تَنْفِيذِ أَوَامِرِهِ وَتَبْلِيغِهِ وَجِهَادِ فِي إِقَامَتِهِ. Yani, and his striving, his sa'ya, his efforts, were all related to the execution, tanfidh awamirihi, execution of the commands that came in the Quran, and the deliverance or the conveyance of the message of the Quran, tablighihi, wa jihad fi iqamatihi, and striving, yani in the way of Allah, for the establishment of that which came in the Quran. فترجمت أم المؤمنين لكمال معرفتها بالقرآن وبالرسول وحسن تعبيرها عن هذا كله عن هذا كله بقولها كان خلق القرآن. So يعني أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها ترجمت يعني she expressed due to كمال معرفتها the perfection of her knowledge of the Quran and the Messenger, yani baha knowing the Quran and knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa husnu ta'biriha, and the excellence of her ability to express what she wanted to say, she expressed all of this. Hada kullihi, yani with this small saying, her saying kana kulluhu al-Quran. Yani she expressed all of the above that Ibn Qayyim mentions here, and other than that, she expressed it with her excellent way of expression in these few words. Yani his khuluq, his character was the Quran. And here the Shaykh goes to a new topic again, and that is yani the great importance of the Quran in the life of a Muslim. Yani that the Quran is the ruh, the spirit, the soul, the core, the essence in the life of a believer. And because it's coming time, close to the time for Maghrib, now we'll try to take this, make the last point. Yani the Shaykh, he says here, وَهُوَ زَادُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, it is provisions for the believer. وَرُوحُ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَغَنَاءُ نُفُوسِهِمْ, yani it is the ruh, the soul of their hearts, and the sufficiency of their souls. Yarhamukallah. The Quran is the ruh of the hearts and the sufficiency of the souls. Yani the Quran will suffice you. Yani if a person is not sufficed by anything else, they will be sufficed by the Quran. If a person is not satisfied by anything else, they will be satisfied by the Quran. بل إن حياة الإنسان الحقيقية لا تكون إلا بالقرآن الكريم. Rather, not only is it the provisions for the believer and the soul or the core of their hearts and the sufficiency of their souls, rather the Quran is the real life of the human being. لا تكون إلا بالقرآن الكريم, يعني a person doesn't have a real life except by means of the noble Quran. ولهذا سماه الله عز وجل روحا في غير ما آية, and for this reason in more than one ayat Allah has named the Quran روح. قال سبحانه وتعالى وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا, يعني Allah سبحانه وتعالى says in Surah Shura, 42nd Surah, 52nd ayat, وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا, and likewise we have revealed to you a ruh, يعني the Quran, من أمرنا, from our command, a ruh, a spirit, a soul. ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا تهدي أو نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لا تهدي إلى صراط مستقيم. That indeed we have sent down, yani likewise we have sent down to you a ruh from our command, and you didn't know before this the book, yani any revelation, nor al-iman, but we have made it, yani this Quran, as a nur, a light. We guide by it whoever we will from amongst our servants, and indeed you do. إنك لتهدي, yani لا, here is لم, التأكيد, يعني for emphasis, indeed, certainly, you do guide to a straight path. وَقَالَ فِي بَدَأَ سُورَةَ النَّهْلِ. And Allah also said in the beginning of Surah An-Nahl, the 16th Surah of the Quran, which is also known as Surah An-Ni'am, as it has been named by the people of knowledge, لِكَثْرَةِ مَا عَدَّدَ اللَّهُ فِيهَا مِن نِعْمِهِ. Yani this Surah An-Nahl has also been named or called by some of the scholars, yani Surah An-Ni'am, due to the plentifulness of what Allah has enumerated in it of His bounties and His favors and His blessings. Then Allah said, yani in this surah, He said here, أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُوا. Yani indeed, the command of Allah has come, or the hour of judgment has come. Do not hasten it. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Indeed, Allah is free from all imperfections and most high. Yani He's free of what? The people associate with Him as partners or equals or otherwise. يُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَ بِالرُّوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ. And here, yani the scholars of tafsir are in agreement that al-malaika means Jibreel. Yani al-malaika is in the plural here, it means Jibreel. Yani that Jibreel, he has descended بِالرُّوحِ. Yani with the ruh means here the wahyi, the Quran, yani which is the source of life for the souls. Indeed, Jibril, he has descended with the ruh, with the revelation, min amrihi, by the will of Allah, by the command of Allah. Fasamma rabbuhu jalla wa ala wahyahu al-hakim wa dhikru al-azim al-Quran al-kareem ruhan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla wa ala, he has named his wise revelation and his magnificent reminder, the Qur'an al-Kareem, the noble Qur'an, he named it a ruh. And that is, لِأَنَّ حَيَاتَ الْقُلُوبِ الْحَقِيقِيَّ إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Because the real life of the hearts, it will not be except by way of this Qur'an. Yani a person will not, the heart will not have real life except by means of the Qur'an. وَسَمَّى سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الملك الذي ينزل بالوحي هو جبريل عليه السلام روحا. And likewise, Allah has named the angel which He has sent down with the revelation, that is Jibril, He has also named him ruh, as in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ash-Shu'ara 26th Surah 193rd ayat, نزل به الروح الأمين. Yani that the trustworthy ruh, that is Jibril, has descended with it. So Jibril is also called ar-ruh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Al-Qadr, 97th Surah, 5th ayat, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا. Yani that the angels and the ruh, here the ruh means Jibril, the angels in general, and especially Jibril alayhi salam, have descended, yani in, yani Laylatul Qadr. That is Jibril, سَمَّاهُ رُوحًا. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named him, or called him ar-ruh, لِأَنَّهُ نَزَلَ بِالْقُرْآنِ الَّذِي بِهِ حَيَاتُ الْقُلُوبِ. Yani why is Jibril called the ruh? It is because he is the one who has descended with the Qur'an, which is the life for the hearts of the human beings. And we'll stop here, inshallah. This final point, the Shaykh says, I'm going to stop here. فَيَجِبُ عَلَى كُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِنَّا أَنْ يَعْلَمَ أن حياته الحقيقية في هذه الدنيا وفي الآخرة بحسب حظه ونصيبه من هذا الكتاب المبارك علما وعملا وتطبيكا. And the Shaykh, he says, so it is obligatory upon every one of us, meaning young and old, rich and poor, yani original Muslims and those who have recently accepted Islam, whatever, every one of us, it is incumbent upon us, it is wajib upon us, that we know that yani the real life in this world and in the hereafter, it will be in accordance with a person's hadh or his nasib, yani your portion or your share of this blessed book, yani your share of it, ilman wa amalan wa tatbikan. Yani your share of it in terms of your knowledge of the book, your actions that are in accordance with the book, and your implementation or application of the book in your life? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to read this last ayat because it's related to this point. وَلِهَذَا يَقُولُ اللَّهِ يعني the shaykh is saying, for this reason, يعني Allah جل وعلا says in Surah Al-Hadid, أَلَمْ يَأْنِي لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَى قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمْ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ اعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا قَدْ بَيَّنَّا لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. And this is from Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, 16th and 17th Ayat, the meaning of which is, has not the time come, أَلَمْ يَأْنِي, has not the time come for those who believe that their hearts will be, يعني have خَشْيَة from the remembrance of Allah and the truth that has been sent down. Yani, isn't it about time that our hearts be affected by this Quran and the truth that Allah has sent down? Or will we just keep claiming to be Muslims and go on with business as usual? Isn't it about time that those who believe that their hearts will be affected by the remembrance of Allah and that which has been sent down from the truth, and that we not be like those who were given the book before us, so that a long period of time passed over them and their hearts became hardened, and many of them are fasikun, disobedient. Yani al khuruj an fa'atillah. They went out outside of disobedience to Allah. And then Allah closed the ayah by saying, I'lamu, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life to the earth after its death, and He has made clear to you, yani, the signs that perhaps you will understand, perhaps you will comprehend. That is, just as the dead earth is given life by the water, as Allah said, فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اَحْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ وَأَنْبَتَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ زَوْجٍ بَحِيجٍ. يعني in Surah Hajj, 22nd Surah, 5th Ayat, just as the dead earth is given life by water, as Allah mentions in this ayat, when we send down upon the dead earth or the barren earth water, then it begins to move, and it begins to rise up, and it begins to bring forth, yani, beautiful herbage. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam rasulillah wa ala alihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Yani, just to complete the sentence, the Shaykh said, yani, from this ayat, that just as the dead earth is given life by water, as Allah mentioned in the ayat in Surah Al-Hajj, then likewise the hearts of the human beings, it is not possible for them to come to life, nor for them to taste the flavor or the sweetness of life, nor to enjoy the happiness in the dunya or in the next life, except by means of this Qur'an. And without this Qur'an, and without acting upon this Qur'an, the human being will live in this world, عَيْشَةً بَهِيمِيَّةً, the life of animal, an animal life. لَا عَيْشَةً حَقِيقِيَّةً, they will not have real life. Without this Qur'an, people will live like animals. As we see all around us in this society, people who live like animals. Without the Qur'an, people's lives will be like animals. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.